to continue tonight with our series of messages concerning the millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. And I'd like to begin by reading in Romans chapter number 8. This is about the seventh message, I believe, I've preached concerning the coming kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Romans chapter number 8, and look in verse number 20. Well, let's read verse 19. I didn't mark it right. Yes, 19 through 25. For the earnest expectation of the creature. Now that word literally is creation, all of God's creation. Waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. In other words, this is God's design. He designed it this way. So to take issue with it is to take issue with God. Now, verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. I think that fits very well into what we've been teaching. Because tonight we're going to look at the coming kingdom as it affects this world. Now, I've put titles on most of these. We began with the kingdom that's coming as it affects Satan. And, of course, that we read in Revelation chapter 20. He's going to be bound. His power is going to be restrained for a while. He's going to be in a bottomless pit for 1,000 years. That's what the Bible says. And then we looked, secondly, at the kingdom of God, as it is affects Christ, he'll be glorified. Satan will be bound, and Christ will become preeminent. Satan is called the prince of this world at this time. We read that in two places in the Bible. Then we talked about the coming kingdom as it affects the church, and there's so many promises about the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, not only the eternal kingdom, which we find in Revelation chapters 21 and 22, but the physical kingdom, the earthly kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, which I believe is very clear in the scriptures. And then we also last week dealt with the coming kingdom of Christ as it will affect the nation of Israel. And many passages we read in prophecy and in the New Testament that amplify that. Israel is not going to be the doorstep of the nations anymore. It's going to go back to being the center of God's dealing with the world. Tonight we'll look at, as I said, the coming kingdom as it affects the whole world. And they're all going to be affected by this. At the consummation of the tribulation period, when we read of the Antichrist and the false prophet, the beast, sometimes called the beast, and their attempts to reign over the whole world. And, you know, we don't understand all these things. We don't want to read something into it that's not there. But you can almost see the workings of this bringing about the approach to this attempt by men to control the whole world. And one man to rule over the whole world. Now, what man will never be able to do by himself, Jesus Christ will do. And I believe that's what the coming kingdom of Christ is about more than anything else. It's about exalting him. And it's about controlling the attempts of men from the beginning of time. You know, we read about Nimrod back in the very early chapters of the book of Genesis. He was the first. And you see that repeated in our day, time after time after time. Whether it be China, everybody can almost see what China wants to do. Matter of fact, they don't hesitate to tell you. They want to rule the world. It's what Russia wanted. That's what Hitler wanted. And on you can go. But they've all failed. But the Antichrist is going to be the consummation of man's attempts to bring that about. To set up a worldwide government, and you hear this a lot now, one world government. They've done it with partial success, but it's always come short. And we know that's by the intervention of God. Back in the book of Genesis again, after the flood, after the worldwide flood, remember what they attempted to do? They're going to build a tower that ascended all the way up to heaven, and what did God do? He came down and confused their tongues. I think God's confused a lot of tongues, using that illustration. As time has gone on, there's been a lot of attempts, but God always seems to intervene. He took care of Hitler. He took care of Stalin. Any man that attempts to rule over this world is going to be confronted by the purpose of God. What does God think? What does God want to do? What is he doing in this world? And that's what I believe we're leading up to. Jesus Christ will do what no other man has ever been able to do. I firmly believe the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ will be a worldwide kingdom. Out of Jerusalem, the city of God. And he will rule over this whole world for 1,000 years. I don't know how you could be any plainer than to read Revelation chapter 20 in the first 7 verses. And yet, some men take issue with that, and they spiritualize it, and they some way explain it away. And yet, to me, the order is there. Chapter 19, the destruction of all those armies that come against the Lord Jesus Christ. He comes out of heaven, destroys them all. And then chapter 20 begins with binding Satan, putting him in a bottomless pit. And the Bible tells us 7 times, 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. Now, what does 1,000 years mean? Well, I think it means 1,000 years. But let's go on. In Revelation 14, 19, we already covered this, about, I believe, the prelude to the battle in Revelation chapter 19, where the blood will run up to the bridles of the horses. And we're not going to read that again tonight, but I hope you can remember that. There's going to be a battle in the Valley of Jezreel. And I believe it's going to extend over into Jerusalem eventually. And that's when the Lord is going to come back and fight for Israel, as we read in the book of Zechariah. But we read in Romans chapter 7 for a reason. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 7 that creation itself, now it's called creature in the King James translation, but the word literally means the creation, all of creation. And I think you can see that. Why do we have volcanoes when the earth bubbles up and all the terrible stuff like around Hawaii? Why do we have earthquakes in diverse places? Why do we have hurricanes that destroy and disrupt the lives of people? What's going on? What is the creature doing? What is creation doing? It's travailing. We read that in Romans. Now, I say that because there's going to come a time when there'll be no hurricanes, there'll be no tornadoes, there'll be no volcanoes, there'll be no earthquakes. The earth is going to be at rest. Nature is going to be at rest, if you put it that way. Sin brought the curse. Now, when God created the world in Genesis 1, notice in verse 31. First chapter of Genesis, verse number 31. Notice how it's concluded in the last verse of Genesis 1. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Even in the morning were the sixth day. Creation is finished. The world is at rest. There's not even any rain, much less floods. The Bible tells us rain never fell from heaven. The dew came up from the earth and watered the earth. Until the flood, there was no rain. There were no floods. There were no earthquakes. All these things that people fear, they were not in existence. When God finished, the earth was perfect. And nature was at rest. But what happened? Well, sin happened. And from that time to this, creation has been groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. waiting, and we read that last verse, for the redemption. We're waiting for the rapture, waiting for God's people to receive that new body. And I believe waiting for the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ to begin. And that's why following that terrible battle in Revelation 19, the very next verses in chapter 20 lead us right directly into the binding of Satan. He's the prince, the power of the air, Paul says. Jesus called him the prince of this world. But if he's bound and in a bottomless pit, he can't affect creation anymore. He's chained in darkness. And for a period of 1,000 years, he's not going to have any effect on creation or the people that live on the face of this earth. Sin brought the curse that we still live with. During the millennial reign, there'll be a change in creation. Back to the original state, not completely, but closer than we've ever known. Human life will be extended, and we're going to read some passages on this just in a minute. Remember, they lived 969 years, the oldest man that ever lived. We can read about that, Methuselah, before the flood. Most of those generations that we find there lived for hundreds of years. But now the average life is 70 years, and anything past that is grace. I just had 13 years of grace this past week added to my life, and I'm thankful for it. If you live past 70, the Bible calls it grace, because the average lifespan of humankind is 70 years. Now, let's turn back and read Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 19. Why do I say that the earth during the millennium will be changed? Well, because of Scripture. I didn't make this up myself. If I did, shame on me. But in Isaiah chapter 65, and I know these things can be misinterpreted, but to me it's really pretty easy to understand these things if you don't try to read something into it and spiritualize it away. Isaiah 65, beginning in verse 19. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days. That's what we have today. Nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die. Somebody asked me, will there be any death during the millennium? Well, yes, there will. The Bible answers that question. For a child shall die 100 years old. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. Will there be sin during the millennium? Yes. Why will there be sin during the millennium? Because there are sinners during the millennium. Yes, God's people are there. Yes, we're in a new and a glorified state. And no, we will not experience sin because we're in the same body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's going to be other people there who did not perish in the battle of Armageddon. They're going to live through that in other parts of the world. Remember, the battle of Armageddon takes place in Jerusalem and the valley of Jezreel. And all those armies that are gathered together are going to be destroyed. But what about the rest of the earth? What about those who were not in that battle? What about the young ones who had not been old enough to go to battle? Well, they're going to live through it. Now let's read further. But the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. There'll still be the curse of sin on this earth during the millennium. But it's going to be controlled. You'll find that just in a minute. Let's go on. Verse 21. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Long enjoy the work of their hands. People are going to extend their lives into hundreds of years, like it was before the flood. Okay? That's in Isaiah 65. Conditions will be different. Look in verses 21 through 24. Verse 22, they shall not build. I read that. Verse 23, they shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble. For they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with him. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will hear. The Bible tells us that God is going to dwell with his people on earth. In Jerusalem. Let's read further passages. There's plenty of these. Psalm 76, verses 11 through 13. Psalms 76, verses 11 through 13. You know, I look at this message that I preached many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and I marvel at how in the world how was I able to put all this together? Well, only by the grace of God. It's not because I'm so smart, but beloved, these things are in the Scripture. And going from passage to passage and following the things that are there, you can come to these conclusions. Psalm 96, verses 11 through 13. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice. Won't be any forest fires, like they're constantly fighting in Colorado and Oregon and California. Before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. The Lord is going to sit as judge. And I believe the period is 1,000 years before the eternal day begins. Now let's read another passage. The book of Isaiah again, chapter 55, verses 12 and 13. Isaiah 55, verses 12 through 13. Most of you know the preceding verse to this because you hear it preached on and quoted it a lot. But in Isaiah 55, if I can find it, Isaiah 55, in verse number 10, for the rain, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Now, I want you to keep that in mind as I read some of these passages out of the Old Testament. Prophecies. God says it'll come to pass. It may seem so strange to you and so impossible, but God's going to make it happen. Verse 12, for ye shall go out with joy, be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come but the fir tree. What was the curse? Remember the curse? When Adam and Eve sinned, the earth brought forth thorns and bramble and bushes that weren't profitable. Instead of the thorn shall come up the fir tree, and instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. Now let's read further in Amos chapter number 9. This is a minor prophet. Right after the book of Daniel, you'll find the book of Amos. Daniel, Hosea, and then Amos. No, Joel Amos. Joel's in there too. Amos 9, verses 13 through 15. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the tender grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and the hills shall melt. And I will bring again the captivity of my people of Israel. They shall build the waste cities and shall inhabit them. And they shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof. And they shall also make gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Now, you say, well, that's already been fulfilled. No, only partially. You don't know the fullness of it yet. Let's keep reading. I believe that mankind shall live to old age again. I believe the animal kingdom will be affected by this millennial reign. I believe even the plant kingdoms, we're reading about this. Plant life, animal life, human life, they're all going to be changed back to the period when, before sin, Adam and Eve lived in the garden. Now, it's not going to be exactly the same, but beloved, this world is going to be different. The curse is going to be lifted somewhat. Now, notice Isaiah 11, verses 6 through 9. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures and we're going back and forth, but I hope you'll bear with me because I want to tell you what the scripture says, not what I say. There's too much of what I think going on in the pulpits today. But in Isaiah chapter number 11, verses 6 through 9. Now read this carefully. Well, let's back up a little because you've read this and you've heard this all your life probably. Look at verse number 6. The wolf also shall dwell with a lamb. The animal kingdom is going to change. Who ever heard of a wolf dwelling with a lamb? It's an oddity, and you can see it sometimes. I saw an article in Reader's Digest, very similar to this. And it was so astounding, they put it in Reader's Digest. Look at this. This just doesn't happen. But here's a wolf. The Bible says, with a lamb, the leopard shall lie down with a kid. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. Oh, son, don't go in that field. There's a big bull out there. You've heard that all your life. I've heard it. There were big bulls out there, and we'd get out there just to tantalize them and get them to run after us. But what's the Bible say? Let's read further. The cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together, and the ox shall eat straw like the ox. You ever seen that happen? Has that ever happened? Not since originally. And yet this is God's word. God's going to bring this to pass. When is he going to bring it to pass? You say, well, in the eternal kingdom. You can search all you like in Revelation 21 and 22 and you won't find any reference to ox or dogs or animals of any kind. This is not the eternal kingdom. This is an earthly kingdom. The same things we know now. We know what an ox is. We know how strange it would be if the ox shall eat straw like the a lion should eat straw like the ox. That would be very unusual in our world, but it's going to happen during the millennial reign. Let's go on. The sucking child shall play on the hole of the asp, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the cockatrice den. You scared to death of snakes? Most people are. Why are we scared of snakes? Oh, they're all poisonous. It doesn't matter whether they're poisonous or not. I always cut their tail off. Don't you? Right behind her neck. Now that may sound cruel, but I'm scared to death of snakes. Ron Royce can bear witness to that, and I'll tell you, I can bear witness he's scared of them too. Because we manifested that right around here, haven't we, Ron? Why are we afraid of them? Let's go on. Verse 9, they shall not hurt nor destroy in my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth. And yet, if you read the third chapter of 2 Peter, you'll see the earth is going to pass away with a great noise. When's this going to happen if the earth has passed away? The earth must pass away with a great noise before the new heavens and the new earth come into existence. When is this scripture going to be fulfilled if there's no earth? There is an earth. After chapter number 19, you'll find chapter number 20. And you'll find a thousand-year reign. And this is when these things are going to happen. Verse 10, in those days there shall be a root of Jesse which shall stand for an ensign of the people. To it shall the Gentiles seek. To it shall the Gentiles seek. And his rest shall be glorious. Now I know, beloved, during the days of the gospel, the Gentiles are being saved. But is our rest glorious? Why did he put those people in jail for singing in an abortion clinic? They hate Christianity. They hate what we stand for. They hate what we preach. They hate what we believe. Has this ever happened before? I mean, in all of the days of the years of the earth, have we ever seen an ox eat straw, or a lion rather eat straw like an ox? You ever seen children lay down by a cockatrice den and stick their hand into it? No, it would horrify you. But the Bible says this is going to happen. This whole chapter, beginning in the first verse, is about Christ, the rod out of the stem of Jesse. Let's read a few more passages. I've got so much here, and I don't want to keep going over it and over it, but in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 6 through 9. Well, that's what I just read, isn't it? Let's go to the next one. In Isaiah 65, verse 25. There's so much of this in Isaiah. It's an exhaustive supply of prophecies about the coming kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, it's neglected by preachers. You don't hear much preaching on the millennial reign of Christ. There's so much confusion about it, preachers won't touch it. They're afraid they'll be misquoted, or they're afraid they might get in trouble with somebody. Isaiah chapter 65, notice verse 25. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. The dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy at all in my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Now again, I read chapters 21 and 22, which are descriptive of the New Jerusalem, Holy Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. And I read that, and I don't see any reference at all to any animals. I only see it here. And it's obvious that these things have to happen on the earth. Not the new heavens and the new earth, but on the earth that we know of. We recognize as the one that he created in the beginning. And if you read the third chapter of Peter, you'll see that this earth as we know it is going to pass away with a great noise. It's going to be burned up. And these things can't be fulfilled if the earth is gone. So when you understand that between the 19th chapter and the Battle of Armageddon, and even the last part of chapter number 20, where we see the great white throne, there's an eternal kingdom recognized and identified and certainly prophesied by many of the Old Testament prophets. You know, there's going to be a period on this earth when things are going to happen that we don't understand because we've never seen them before. There's going to be changes to the universe. Isaiah 66, verse 15. Notice this, you should be here. For behold, the Lord will come with fire and with chariots like a whirlwind to render his anger with fury and his rebuke with flames of fire. Does that line up with Revelation 19? For by fire and by the sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. Revelation 19, the last few verses. When he destroys all those armies, a sword will go out of his mouth. Animals no longer predators, no longer fierce and dangerous, but calm and gentle, eating grass, not one another. All the PETA people are going to be happy during this time because they don't like to see animals killed and don't like to see people eat flesh. You know, beloved, as we think about these things, and there's so much more, I've got to quit because I've run over so far. One more passage, Isaiah 30. Just turn back there quickly, and I'll bring it to a close. There's so much here that Isaiah 30, verse 24. The oxen likewise and young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. There shall be upon every high mountain, upon every high hill, rivers and streams of water in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Time and again, as you try to put these passages together, and there's so many, I'm just going to have to quit. Zechariah chapter 14, we read some of those already. When men refuse to worship God, if you read at the end of the book of Zechariah, you heard the curses that's going to come upon them. How's that going to be fulfilled? and the new heavens and the new earth. It's not because they're not going to be there. But there are going to be lost people living on this earth during the millennium. And if they do not do what God says they should do, they're going to be dealt with. God's going to withhold the rain from them. You can read that in Zechariah chapter number 14, in the last few verses. There'll be plagues on the earth because of their disobedience. Death is possible because men still have the old nature. And the wages of death is still sin. Or the wages of sin is still death. At the end, those who rebel with God or against God with Satan will be those who have lived through the millennium with the old nature. They've lived in a world of peace. They lived in a world of calm when nature was at rest because nature's creator is reigning over it. And the rebellion will be dealt with if they rebel. But when Satan is loosed out of that bottomless pit, and this perfectly matches what the scripture is saying, right in the same vein and the same pattern. When Satan is loosed out of that bottomless pit, what does he do? He goes out and deceives those on the earth. Now, who's he going to deceive? He can't deceive those who are saved because we have a new nature and we've got a new body. It's a body like Christ. We can't be deceived. We're living here, but he can't deceive us. But I'll tell you who he can deceive. All those multitudes that went into the millennium and lived through the millennium. Some may have lived the whole time because age is going to be extended. But when Satan is turned loose, he's going to go out, he's going to deceive them, he's going to lead a rebellion against God again. And you can read this in Revelation chapter 20, after the millennial reign. You see, it comes after the millennial reign in the scriptures. And then after chapter number 20 and the great white throne judgments, then we see in chapter number 21, we see new heavens and a new earth. We see New Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven. That's completely separate from the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, which will last for 1,000 years on the very earth we're living on right now. There are going to be some changes in nature, in animals, in plant life, and in those who are saved by the grace of God. Will be reigning. They shall live and reign with him for 1,000 years on this earth. And then there's a new day to look forward to. That's the eternal kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, which doesn't begin. If I understand my Bible at all, it doesn't begin until chapter 21. And it's consummated, as far as our knowledge of it, in chapter 21 and 22 of the book of Revelation. And all these things that I've been preaching you about must happen before that takes place. So I'm going to close tonight. I'll continue next week. Tim, you come and lead us in the hymn of invitation.